In his second epistle to Timothy, the Apostle Paul declares, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." The expression "all Scripture" means the Bible from beginning to end. The singular term Scripture, instead of the usual plural Scriptures, points to the intrinsic oneness of the Bible. The 66 books form in reality only one book, one holy writ, inspired by God and invested with God's authority. A systematic study of the Bible clearly reveals this basic unity of Holy Scripture. Its many documents deal with issues which, apart from divine revelation, far exceed man's limited understanding. Among these are the work and person of God, the origin and consequences of sin, and man's final destiny. Nevertheless, the 66 books of the Bible are presented in a perfectly coherent and consistent way. This alone makes the Bible absolutely unique, for it must be remembered that it was written over a period of at least 15 centuries by a great number of authors coming from many different social classes and backgrounds. This fundamental harmony of Holy Scripture has its origin in the God of Scripture who inspired it, the God who dominates time and space. He knows everything from beginning to end. He can speak of the past, present, and future with unquestioned authority. From the opening verses of the Bible onwards, God reveals himself as he is, eternal, sovereign, holy, the Creator God. Then he makes himself known as the Covenant God, disclosing his attributes of love, grace, justice, and mercy. For this reason, the main theme that runs throughout the whole Bible deals with the redemption of fallen humanity, the restoring of fellowship between sinful man and his holy Creator. Only God could accomplish the work of salvation, and he did it through a Savior. Revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, this Savior dominates the whole of Scripture. If the New Testament shows him clearly, with the account of his first coming and the unfolding of his redemptive work on earth, which will be followed by his return in glory and his reign, the Old Testament, although less explicit, is also centered on him. Before his incarnation, Christ is spoken of either prophetically or by means of symbols and types, images that point to or prefigure the person and work of the Savior. In John's Gospel, for example, Jesus explains the spiritual meaning of the manna given by God to the people of Israel in the wilderness. This miraculous food was a type of Christ himself, the living bread that came down from heaven to give life to the world. The bronze serpent that was lifted up on a pole by Moses to save the Israelites from death was an image of Jesus raised up on the cross to save his people from eternal death. The lamb without blemish of the Jewish Passover represented, in advance, the Holy Lamb of God, sacrificed for our redemption. The tabernacle, the worship, and the Levitical priesthood accomplished symbolically all that Christ, our great High Priest, accomplishes for his people in the presence of God. The ceremony and rituals instituted by Moses were a representation, a copy and shadow of the heavenly things that were to come, as the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews explains. The Old Testament also abounds in prophetic promises concerning the Messiah. He is the great focus of all the prophets. They foretell the Lord's person and his first coming, his sufferings and death, as well as his return in glory and his everlasting reign. The first mention of a Redeemer for fallen mankind is to be found at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 3:15. Here God declares that the Savior would be a human being, a descendant of the woman, and that he would be at war with Satan, the ancient serpent, whose head he would crush, at the cost of being wounded himself. The New Testament gives the explanation and fulfillment of this prophecy by the virgin birth of Jesus, his life of obedience, and his victory over sin and Satan through his death and resurrection. All that was announced by the prophets concerning the first coming of Christ was fully accomplished, and the prophecies concerning his second coming in glory will likewise be perfectly fulfilled. A study of the other themes confirms the unity and harmony of Holy Scripture. The doctrines touched on at the beginning of the book are progressively developed and clarified. Take, for example, the subject of man. Scripture reveals his origin, his fall, his estrangement from God, his salvation, and his eternal destiny. Or consider the matter of sin, its origin, its consequences in this world, and its condemnation in the world to come. Thus, the books of the Bible, if they are read and understood correctly, explain and complete each other. The Old Testament is the foundation upon which the New Testament is built. The New is contained in the Old, and the Old is explained by the New. Next episode, the authority of the Bible.